When Christ states in John 4, verse 22, that salvation is of the Jews or the Israelites, is this leaving somebody out? Is this leaving a lot of people out? Is this an unfair God? Whenever Christ here is saying that salvation is of the Jews, and again, we can include Israelites since Jews are often a summary term. So what we see here, though, even just in this one statement, is that God's true church is not a Gentile church. It's an Israelitish church. Now, this sounds, at first glance, a bit exclusive. And even here within the church of God and the people that we've known and the people that we are non-Israelitish people, some of us. Some of us are from Israelitish areas, the best that we can tell. So then, what is our or their fate in this situation if salvation is of the Jews? How does a person enter into the kingdom of God? How does one gain salvation if this is indeed the case? A Gentile-born person enters into salvation only by becoming an Israelite. That is, a spiritual Israelite. Today I'd like to talk about exactly how this happens. Firstly, a person must become a part of Abraham's seed. Please turn to Galatians 3. We'll read verses 7 through 9. Galatians 3, verses 7 through 9. We find that through faith, Abraham becomes our father in the flesh when God becomes our spiritual father. We read, beginning in verse 7, "Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of God." So we must, or sorry, sons of Abraham. So by faith, that is the belief in God and Christ and what they've done and what they've said and what they've commanded, what the Word of God, all His laws are, what the Scripture says. If we are of that faith, then we are sons of Abraham. Again, this means that we are now, he is our father. We are in that lineage, so to speak. And then verse 8, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed." So again, if a Gentile takes on the faith of Christ, then he is a son of Abraham. And in this, all nations will be blessed. So we can see that how all nations will expressly be blessed in the world tomorrow when all peoples come and accept the faith of God. And they will be not just from Israel, but they'll be from all nations of the world. And in that way, everybody will be blessed and all nations will be blessed. And then verse 9, "So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham," or believing as Abraham is believed. And this, again, is why Abraham is called the father of the faithful. If we are faithful, if we follow this faith, then we are of Abraham's seed. You might want to note Romans 4, 11 and 16, which, again, just as a reference, reiterates that. So we see that we must become a spiritual Israelite to become the beneficiaries of the same promises that was made to Abraham and his seed. If you could turn to Romans 9, we'll read verses 3 through 8. Romans 9, verses 3 through 8. It says, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren." Again, this is Paul speaking. He's talking about for his brethren. "My countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites." So it's the Israelites are Paul's brethren. Paul also called himself a Jew. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. So again, we see that Jew, the word Jew or the term Jews can be a summary term. "To whom pertain the adoption," or probably better rendered, the sonship, "the glory, the covenants." These were the covenants that were given to Israel, not just to the tribe of Judah. "The giving of the law, the service of God, the promises, of whom are the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Again, we see the lineage there going down to Jacob. And again, it's not just Judah. And from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. Verse 6. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. So now, hopefully, you know, when you look at something like that, you're going, well, what in the world does that mean if you read it more or less out of context and you're not taking the Bible a little bit here and a little bit there? But you see, they are not all of Israel who are of Israel. To become an Israelite, a spiritual Israelite, we must put on this faith. If we do that, then we are of Israel. And those who are of physical Israel then are not necessarily of Israel if they fall into unbelief. And then verse 7, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted as the seed. Again, it further iterates what we're saying here, is that if you have this faith, then you can become the seed. Not just because you're flesh and blood of Abraham will you inherit these promises and be counted as the seed of Abraham, but you must have this faith. So again, this is a reiteration of what we were saying earlier, as well as a continuity of that thought. If you could turn to Galatians 3 again, and we see, unless a Gentile becomes a spiritual Israelite through Christ, he has no chance of becoming an heir. And that is an heir to the spiritual promises that were made to Abraham. So in verse 26, Paul further elaborates on how the Gentiles can share in the promises that were made to Abraham. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And finally in verse 29, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise, the promises that Abraham was made. So brethren, if you are Christ, then you become an Israelite inwardly. Romans 2, verses 28 and 29. In Romans 2, verses 28 and 29, we see this. And again, this will clarify what we were saying earlier. In verse 28, it says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, in verse 29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So if we look back to John 4:22, which we started off with, we see more clearly now what was meant by salvation is of the Jews. It is one who is a Jew inwardly. And it is not necessarily one who is of the flesh or blood. In Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 15, Ephesians 2, verses 11, we'll go through 14. Paul, as he had to do on a few occasions, as we've already talked about, explains that uncircumcised Gentiles can become a part of this commonwealth of spiritual Israel, which is the church. His point, again, was that we could do that without having to become circumcised, which is the issue that he had to deal with. In verse 11, it says, therefore, remember that you once in times past, according, that's the way that the King James Version puts it, in times past. So once in times past, Gentiles in the flesh. You were once Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. So the Gentiles were called the uncircumcision by those who were circumcised, who were called the circumcision. But they were called that in the past. Paul tells these converted, now converted, Ephesians that were Gentiles, that they used to be in times past Gentiles in the flesh. But because of the Christianity that they were taking on, now they were no longer a Gentile in the flesh. So they no longer a part of any type of Gentile religion or Gentile way, but now Christian. So they had become spiritual Israelites through Christ. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So they were once strangers or foreigners or aliens to this covenant, to the promise that came with it. They had no part in it, could have no part in it. But that was, again, before conversion. But now, through Christ, they have this opportunity. And then in verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. And then in verse 19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. This wall of separation had come down and they had the opportunity. It was no longer just for the Israelites, but it was for all Gentiles and by extension, all peoples. Brethren, we were once the same way. We were once a spiritual Gentile. We were once an unbeliever. And then, like Romans 11 talks about, and again, it's a whole chapter that is directly related to what we're talking about, we were grafted, this branch, ourselves, was grafted into the tree, which is Israel. So we were then put into a place that we had no part of until somebody put us there. The good news, brethren, is that God is not a respecter of persons. No matter what race, what color, creed, sex, etc., we have the opportunity to become a part of spiritual Israel. Spiritual Israel, the church of God. We can become God's chosen people. And in 1 Peter 2:9, it goes on and says, we can become a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. We were this because God took us out of the darkness and brought us into the marvelous light, as the end of the verse goes on to say. Brethren, if we do, we will become, that is, if we come out of this darkness and into the light and take hold of what is the truth, we will become children of Abraham and heirs according to the promise.